morning. Good morning. God continue to bless everyone. Amen. Amen. This is a little high. But I am overjoyed to be with you once again. The honor is all mine that the Lord has put in Pastor Marathi's heart to bring me once again to share the word, the scripture with you guys. Especially in these times where we're going through different difficulties and different losses, I believe that the fact that Pastor Marathi was touched by the Spirit for us to welcome him. When I was praying, I felt the Spirit, and then the Spirit spoke to me and says, I need to be welcomed. So I was going to do something very different. I'm going to forget about all the introductions for now, because we know that there's a time for everything. Bible says a time for everything, time to cry, time for joy, time for peace, but there's also a time for worship. And I want everyone to stand. I'm going to do something very different. I'm gonna shake the church out of his comfort zone. Yeah. Just bear with me a little bit, you know? Bible says that he rejuvenates those who have lost strength. So I want you right now to give the Lord your best worship. Forget about the music. I want you to extend your hand and let yourself be guided by the Holy Spirit. And let's welcome him open-heartedly. Because I know it's very hard to express ourselves, especially through so much pain, through so much disaster, through so much chaos. But we have to show God, like Paul says, I no longer live, now Christ lives in me. So we have to let that Christ in us out, because the Spirit that is within us yearns to be received by the Father. So I want you to extend your hands up to the heavens, and I want you to just give your best hallelujah. I want you to give your best glory to God. I want you to tell him how much you are grateful, everything that he has done. Father God, we love you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcomed in this place. Holy Spirit, we yearn to feel you. We need your presence. We pant for you, oh God. We pant for you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory to the Most High, because only you are worthy of all the worship and all the praise, because you are a miracle worker, because you are the way maker, because you will open up seas in the desert, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Oh, and if the Spirit touches you and you must speak in tongues, then you must speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Oh, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We know that these times are different from before. We know that we must live a different style of life, Father God. Getting closer to you every day, Lord. Help us open our minds, Father. Open our hearts, Lord, that we may get closer to you. And at the same time, we may reach and touch someone who is in need, Father. Holy Spirit, oh, there is a spirit of healing in this place today. There is a spirit of healing in this place today. Ooh, I am just a vessel. I will wipe away every tear. I will wipe away every tear. No tear will go uncounted. No tear is in vain. But I need you to let me flow. I need you to let me flow in you. I need you to take out that blockage. Martha, take away the stone, Martha. Take away the stone, Martha. Oh, Holy Spirit, we welcome you, Father. Oh, we welcome you, Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Father God, we worship you, we worship you, we worship you. Yes, Lord, we worship you. Oh, give an applause to the Lord. Give an applause to Christ. For he is good and he is faithful. Hallelujah. It's not every day. It's not every day that the Holy Spirit chooses to visit in his full essence, in his full presence. And I think I'm not mistaken when I say that in these times, the revival will visit us once again. In these times, we will lay hands upon the sick and they shall be healed. This church made it through one of the greatest pandemics to ever strike the world because we understood and we held on to the garment of the teacher. We held on to the garment of the master. Like that woman who had that never-ending flow, she said, if only I was to touch his garment, I will be healed. If only I was to get close enough, my miracle will manifest. Give another round of applause to Christ. Hallelujah. I know you're probably seeing a new side of me, but this is where the Spirit uses me the most. Is when it comes to his time, I just let him flow through me. And it's not a coincidence that Pastor Marathi, again, wanted to welcome the Holy Spirit because he has set out a date for this church since the beginning of time. Because these are the times where we need it the most. During the loss, during the chaos, during this pandemic, that, like Pastor Marathi was saying, all the churches closed. Nobody understood what was going on, but we held on to our faith. We knew. We held fast to Jesus Christ because we know that he says that in this world, we will have tribulation. We will have affliction. But trust, for I have conquered. I have defeated the world. Amen. Give another round of applause. Another round of applause. Hallelujah. I come before you today as a brother in Christ, evangelist by title, but as a brother in Christ altogether. I've always told Pastor Marathi, I've always told the congregation, I feel like this is my second home. I feel very comfortable when I come here. I love the congregation. And before I move forward, my daughter, Noemi, she has a little worship she wants to share with the church today. Come on, honey. You can remove the mask. Remember, this is for the Lord, so don't be shy, okay? Say hello to everybody. Hi. God bless you. What are you going to be singing for us today? You can do all things. Okay? All right, so go ahead when you're ready. Sing it out loud, honey.
Your head. It's moving right now. You were still showing up at the tomb of every Lazarus. Your voice is calling me out. And right now, I know you're able. And my God, come through again. You can do all things. But fail, 'cause you never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. And I know, you never will.
You can
do all things. You can do all things. But fail, 'cause you never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle, 'cause I know, you never will.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's beautiful, and that only goes to show in scriptures where it says, when Jesus said, let the children come to me, and don't impede them, because of them, is the kingdom of heaven. And she was singing that the Lord can do anything, anything but fail, because he's never lost a battle. And even during this pandemic, he never lost a battle. In the middle of all the pain, he never lost a battle. And he will continue to win, because the Bible says that we are made more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. Let us go really quick to scripture. My wife just stepped out, but that is my wife Carla, my son Jeremiah, and my daughter Noemi. They are part of my ministry. And again, like I said, I'm very overjoyed to be here. Very happy. Definitely was waiting for Pastor Mariah to reach out at some point, because I yearn to be here. Let us go to the Bible in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, and we are going to be considering two verses out of chapter 42. And if the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you and you need to dance like David danced, dance like David danced. You need to cry out, cry out. We are free to worship. We have been made free. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 42, verse 1 and 2. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And the theme of the message today is let him flow. Let him flow. Let the Spirit of God flow, not only in you, but through you. Let God's work become manifested in our actions, in our words. We all know that the Bible says that in our mouth, we hold the power of life and death. So in the middle of all this that we have been going through, as a people, as a world, instead of looking at all the negatives, instead of looking at all the deaths, instead of looking at all the numbers and all the counts, because let me tell you something, the media, they're experts with numbers. But when it's for something chaotic, because we know that chaos brings fear, and then fear brings control and subjugation of the people. So they're able to control us. And it's something that when it's for something good, the numbers really don't matter. But it's when for something that causes fear, then the numbers matter. Right? We've noticed that. We've seen that. And even when they were saying something good or giving us a good news, you could always see in the corner the numbers. The number, or you'll see it in a banner underneath, the numbers. Because numbers matter when it produces fear. But we know, we hold true that the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has not given us a spirit of fear. And what does fear do? It paralyzes us. It stops us. It does not let us flow. It does not let us move. The words that are nouns can never become verbs because there is no action. Fear comes from a place that tells you that what God has promised you will never come to pass. That what God has spoken to you one day will never be fulfilled. But let me tell you something. Let me remind you of a little something. Jesus conquered the world. Jesus came as man, made himself, God made himself man, walked among us, stepped to fear and said, "Fear, you do not own me." How many can clap your hands to the Lord? Let him flow. First, when we speak about flow, we're talking about moving along in a steady, continuous stream. That is what a flow is. So when you open up a faucet, the water is what? It's flowing. What happens when the faucet is off? There's no flow. Now, I want you to picture this. When we're seeking first the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness, then the Spirit of God is doing what in us? He's flowing. Miracles are flowing. Healing is flowing. But what happens when we get to that moment where there is an impediment where there's an obstruction, what happens to the flow? Stops. Let him flow. Now, I like the book of Psalms, chapter 42, because David is comparing his yearn and his thirst for God. It says in verse 1, like the deer pants for the brook water. And those who are familiar with geography and all the bodies of waters and all that, I'm not too familiar with it, but I had to do a little studying. I had to do a little gathering of information to understand the difference between brook water and why brook water happens to come about in the Bible in so many different ways. Brook water. Brook water is water that never stops flowing. It's always flowing in a continuous stream. Let him flow. As the deer pants for the brook water. Now let me ask you something. Do you find it difficult to drink out of a water fountain? No, right? You push a button, the water flows, right? But there is that button that activates the flow. Now, there is something within us all that activates the flow of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, if my people will humble themselves, in which my name is invoked, I will hear them from heaven, and I will heal their land. There is an activation power to let that Holy Spirit flow within us, to let that power flow within us, to let that power flow around us all. Now, how difficult is it when the water is stopped, when it's stagnant, when it's not moving? Now you have to go about your way, get out of your comfort zone, get on your knees and get to the place where it is and probably try to group some up, and the water spilling through your hands. The Bible says, two things have these people done wrong. They forgot me. They left me. Rivers of living waters. And they dug for themselves cisterns that are broken. Now, when you try to gather the water in your hands, you can't always have the full amount, correct? I remember as a child, when I would go and I would try to do something different. I don't know why. I've always been a peculiar individual. I've always wanted to do things out of the norm. I never wanted to conform, and I never understood that. And my dad will always tell me, you're different. But that's not a bad thing. You're just different. I'm like, okay. Like, everybody would drink from the water fountain, not me. I wanted to catch it in my hands, and I wanted to show. I wanted to display something different. Why? I guess now that I'm a little more grown, because I'm still young. We're all young, right? We're all young. Now that I'm a little older, I can understand. Many people may have seen it as a cry for help. Many people may look at us and say, how is it that you maintain your faith in this pandemic? How is it that Pastor Marotti opens the church and you say, amen, here I am, Lord. How is it that you guys were able to do this and that and so many churches that closed? It's not because we wanted to show out. It's not that we wanted to show off. It's because we wanted to show him. We wanted to put Christ on display. We wanted to lift him on high. And as a kid, I never understood that. I'm so different. I'm so different. I don't know why. Everybody, every young child was worried about having the best toy. I was about 7 or 8 years old. Every kid had the nicest toy. I would ask my dad for any toy. Give me any toy. And you know what I would do? I guess I was an entrepreneur at a very young age. I would take every toy that my dad bought me and I would go sell it. I would take the gift. I didn't care what it was. But I knew somebody out there was a market for that. No matter what, there's always a market for something. And I learned that as I got older. I had things in my house where I was like, oh, this is probably garbage. This is nothing. Somebody wants it. What's it say? One man's garbage is another man's treasure. Think about how many people had the opportunity to walk with Christ. You know, it saddens me to think of Judas. Walked with the Master. Slept with the Master. Ate with the Master. had the best treasure before him and just let it escape through his hands. That is how we look when we're in the middle of chaos and desperation. As the deer pants for the brook waters, so does my soul for you, O God. We're desperate. We're trying to gather the water, and it's slipping through our hands. Because the Bible says, I can do all things. That's in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So it doesn't matter how crazy I'm going, how desperate I am. Because when you pant, let me tell you, when you're panting, you're breathing quickly out of desperation. You're yearning. You're anxious. Lord, what's going on? I feel like I'm drowning. I can't take this anymore. I know. Oh, God. Oh, God. As the deer pants for the brook waters. Have you ever been so thirsty that even a little bit of vinegar or a little bit of oil quenches the thirst? Have you ever been so desperate in life to find answers that you go after one thing, but you don't get the same results? As the deer pants for the brook waters. The flowing water, the running water. That's what we need. Because when we don't go for the brook waters, then we're going for the stagnant water. And what does stagnant water bring? Disease, malaria, dysentery, fevers, dengue, everything. All that comes from stagnation. Now imagine in your walk with Christ, when you're flowing and you're flowing like a continuous stream and you come into a blockage in your spiritual walk. What do you think is going to happen? In the middle of that, stagnation is going to settle. Your dreams are going to die. Your faith is going to diminish. Doubt will set in. Incredulity will set in. We will be like Thomas, having walked with the Master, didn't even recognize him when he came back and said, I am. Go ahead. If you need to, put your fingers through my wounds. And the Lord is reminding us today, if you do not believe that I am, that I still am, go ahead and run your fingers through my wounds. I am still the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. I have not changed, nor will I ever change. My promises will always be yes and amen. Hallelujah. Now, when we speak about stagnation, it takes me quickly to the third world countries where they're panting for water. I was marveled by the sister's prayer over here when she said, give thanks. I want to give thanks to God for our freedoms of being able to congregate when around the world, people are panting like deers for brook water. The Lord was telling me, remind my church that I still flow in a continuous stream. And it will not end until the Holy Spirit gives me back my bride. Now you go to a third world country, access for water is not the same. We can go to the corner store, to the mini mart, and we can buy as much water as our heart desires. We can go to the river and we can grab buckets of water and take it home and boil it because we have gas, we have electricity. Now think of these other people. They don't have the freedoms we have. They don't have the luxuries that we have. And we're living in a time where we cannot let the Spirit of God stagnate inside of us. Because let me tell you something, it comes a moment in our lives where the Spirit says, I don't want to be in this house anymore. I don't want to dwell. Bible says that the gifts are irrevocable. But the Spirit cannot live. It says God cannot abound in a dirty vessel, in a dirty cup. Now what happens with stagnant water? The water, when it stops flowing, stops receiving the nutrients. It stops receiving everything that gives it that clear, beautiful color that we love. When we go to the beach, we see that clear water. Well, unless you go to the beaches in New Jersey, that's a little different. Unless you go to the beaches in New Jersey, they're a little more stagnant. We know that. But when you go away, you see those beautiful blue, clear, green, clear, beautiful colors, right? And the water looks alive. Now, when that water stagnates, even the color changes. Even the flavor changes. You know what? Bottled water can stagnate. You don't believe me? Leave it in your car for a couple days. It goes from a nice water bottle to a nice hot tea water bottle. It turns into something completely different. There's a blockage. The Spirit was telling me there is a blockage in the church. What was not there once is now there. And he told me, tell my people to take away the stone. Martha, take away the stone. Take away the stone. It had been a couple days that Jesus' good friend Lazarus had passed away. Right? And this is one of the best biblical examples that I use for loss. Jesus had heard that Lazarus was sick, a dear friend to him. Now I'm sure, remember, because Jesus was 100% human, 100% God. So I'm sure that in his humanity, he yearned to be near his friend. But sometimes we have to understand that the Lord allows things to happen so that his perfect will can be fulfilled. We are so minute, we are so tiny, we are so minimal compared to the mentality and to the capacity of the all-knowing sovereign God. He uses things like loss to bring about revival, to bring about healing. And Jesus came after a couple days. And as soon as he arrives, some people were happy to see him, but there was always that one person, Martha. Had you come sooner, Jesus, our brother would not have perished. Have you come sooner? And that reminds me of a time in my life where I was going through a very difficult situation. And I felt, to me, in my personal life, that was the most troubling season of my life. And I would tell, if you came sooner, this would not have happened. I felt just like Martha, because let me tell you, that's human. To feel pain, to feel hurt, to feel isolated, that's human. And there's a reason why God gave us all those emotions. Because without those emotions, we cannot feel compassion for our brethren, for our neighbor. You imagine if we were just robots with no emotions? I mean, I know we know somebody who may come off like that. I'm not saying they're in this congregation. They're somewhere around the world. But, you know, in some congregation or the other, there's a person that to us seems like they're programmed. How you doing? Yes. God bless you. And everything seems like it's programmed. But imagine if everyone was that way. Will the Spirit be able to flow? That's why we have to give liberty. Listen, I stopped caring what I looked like when I'm pouring out my heart before the Holy Spirit. I stopped caring if I'm crying, I don't have much hair, but for those of us who have a lot, you know, a little more hair than others, I stopped caring how my outfit turned out. I stopped caring if my tie came loose. I stopped caring. My shirt becomes wrinkled because I'm pouring out my heart. I'm panting. I want that touch of the Holy Spirit. I want that. I want that. I need that. So much so that I don't care what happens after. You go to some churches, you know, where, you know, there's women of God who praise them freely. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you see some wigs flying. You see some stuff flying. And they don't care. They're panting. They need it. They yearn for it. I remember when I was in the police academy, and we would have to run, and I wasn't such a great runner, you know. And I was trying to keep up, and I would pant, and I would pant, and everybody else was like, and I was like, I was giving it all I had. I couldn't pretend. I wanted to. I wanted to pretend like everything was fine. Everything was good, you know. You want to pretend. You want to give it off. Like, yeah, I'm confident. I'm good. I was dying. I'm like, oh my God. Oh, no. I've never ran 5 miles in my life before. Why? Is that even normal? Who runs 5 miles? I started looking at all the negatives. Who runs 5 miles? Who conditions this much? Why do I need all this? What is this? Not even human. It's not even possible. And I would pant. And I found myself the same way in the Lord. Sometimes people go ahead of me, and I'm falling behind, but I'm like, no, Lord, I'm panting. I'm going to make it. I need to make it. And you know what? I'm going to continue running, even though I'm running out of breath. Lord, I'm drowning. Lord, I can't feel you anymore. Lord, I can't see you. But God reminds us, I am here. I am there. I am with you. Keep running. The people of Israel, they left Egypt, but they continued to walk forward, and they crossed the Red Sea. Whew. I'm not going to the gym today. I already did cardio. I already have my cardio. Panting. Desperation. Have you ever seen a deer caught in the headlights? Fear sits over them. And they even use that now as a regular phrase. Ah, you look like a deer in the headlights. And what happened to you, Martinez? You're like a deer in the headlights. Like, yeah, it kind of was, you know. there was no avoiding the situation. I had to go for it. But just imagine what's going through their mind. Right? It's an instinct. Before anything happens, before anything meteorological happens, the animals can sense it. I used to ask my mother, why are those birds flying? And she would make up stories, you know. Oh, that's because something about this, that, and the third. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. As I got older, I started understanding that animals migrate. Animals have this sense. Now, that's animals, right? That's animals. Imagine how much more sense will the Holy Spirit deposit in us. When we seek him, that discernment, that we are able to discern the spirits, we are able to discern the seasons, this different things in our lives, will that not give you the extra push to keep on going, to keep on flowing? Because what happens when you stagnate? Everything changes. And I was talking about the water, but now let's talk about ourselves. What made us happy doesn't make us happy anymore. Coming to the house of the Lord makes no difference to us whether we come or we don't. And I've been there. Where I've said, oh, I'm tired. Ah, oh, the Lord understands. Oh, it's all right. You know, the most important thing is my relationship with God. And, you know, and then day after day after day, I'm stagnating. I'm changing color. I don't even taste the same to people anymore. Hey, what happened, Joanne? He used to be so happy. Ah, it's all right. There's a time for everything. You know, because we love to interpret the Bible in our own way, right? We like to use it when it benefits us the most. Ah, oh, there's a time for everything. All right? You were so cheery. What happened? Oh, no, it's fine. You were always so happy. Now you're always moping. Now you're always sad. Because when there's a stagnation, when we can't get past that, we're going to be stuck in the same place. Jesus arrived. Martha said, had you come sooner, my brother would not have passed. Jesus looks at Martha. Have I not told you, if you believed, you shall see my glory? Have I not told you, if you believed, you shall see the glory of God? Jesus knew what he came to do. Same way he knows what he's been doing now. He knows what he's doing. We are in the hands of a capable God. He looked at Martha. Oh, Martha, take away the stone. How many times haven't Jesus spoken to us? Hasn't God, the Holy Spirit, spoken to us, touched us? And say, Martha, just take away the stone. I'm here. Everything's all right. I'm here. Everything is good. But like I said before, one man's garbage is another man's treasure. Jesus is there, and you just finished telling him, had he come sooner, you're telling me that you know that he has the power to heal. You're telling me that you know that he has sovereign power. He can do greater things than a natural, average human being. He tells you to take away the stone, and the first thing you tell him, he's got to be reeking by now, Lord. Holy. You see? That's what stagnation causes. Incredulity. Right? And that's where the Bible speaks that a double-minded man is inconsistent in all his ways. Not just one way, two ways, in all his ways. So Martha was telling Jesus, had you come sooner, he would have been fine. But now, because I'm double-minded, if I remove the stone, it's going to reek. I don't want to be inconvenienced, Jesus. That's what she was telling him. The Lord is knocking at our door. I need you to start flowing. I need you to start moving. And you're like, Lord, there's a pandemic. Lord, no. We have to be prudent. You got to understand. Let me ask you something. In the history of this world, is this the first pandemic we've gone through? Everything is a pandemic until it is understood. Everything is new until it is understood. The Lord knocks at our door. I need you to open those floodgates because I need to flow. I need to use you so that you can flood this man's house. You need to flood this woman's house with prayer and love. You need to flood this. You need to flood that. You need to flood Belleville. Because let me tell you something. There's a lot of things behind closed doors that we do not know. Only God does. And there's a reason why this church is still standing. Because I'm sure. It wouldn't have been me, but I'm sure. If it got to the point where they would come and tell you you have to close, they were going to send the same employees. Had it been me, I would have taken being fired or suspended over that. Because I don't abound by what did they call these? They were calling them executive orders. My executive orders come from God. And God told me, go through all the nations preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, our church, the church where I assist, where I congregate, they sent the government. And they came to the doors and I identified myself. I said, listen, I'm such and such. I work for such and such department. No disrespect to you, but the pastor is giving his sermon and I will not allow you to interrupt until he's done. Gotta let him flow. When there's fear, you can't do that. When there's fear, you cannot stand against the smallest things in our lives. It paralyzes us to the point where we start believing, we start dwelling, and we start, and it's sad because I could see with my own eyes how some people wanted to say, I am positive. Why? Because they yearned for the attention. They wanted the attention that people were getting. People were actually getting sick, but there was other people where I could see with my eyes. They would get tested every day, and they would get upset because they didn't come out positive. Do you see what a double-mindedness does to us? And these weren't just normal people. These were Christian people. They wanted to give that testimony that I was sick, and the Lord healed me. What better testimony is there than I never got sick because the Lord stood with me the whole time? He flowed through me. Healing was flowing. I opened the doors and I was flooded with healing. Let him flow. Stagnation changes everything. As the deer pants for the brook waters, so does my soul for you, O God. Give God a round of applause, please. Now it seems like today there's an interruption in the signal between the church and God. Not just the congregation. Remember, we're just part of the church. There's a lot of people who say, my church. It's not my church. It's the Lord's church. We're just one congregation that forms a part of the church. We have to understand that. But in certain congregations, there's a disconnect. What happened during the pandemic? I remember before the pandemic, everyone was flowing, right? Because God wants you to be the best version of you, right? That's what God wanted at some point, right? Through some rock star preachers, right? That's what they call them now. These celebrities that come out on TV and tell you that, you know, buy this soap because it's anointed, or buy this anointed oil. This oil is anointed for healing. This oil is anointed for incredulity. This oil, they had so many. And that was a time where it just flowed. Everybody had something good to do, but during the pandemic, it was like when the prophets stopped speaking. Where was the word at that time? I would flip through the channels. I was looking for this guy. You know, that beautiful smiley, pearly white. You know who I'm talking about. I don't have to say nobody's name here. Only God's name. I said, oh, his name shall be exalted. But this tall man with the beautiful dentures and the nice hair, very positive. Where was he during the pandemic? Or where was he during the flood? When his own city got flooded, what did he do? Right? He closed the doors to his church. Was that the Spirit of God flowing through him? We're faced with so many different situations in life. We're faced with so many different believers in life. Be careful which well you're drinking water from. Be careful what brook you're receiving water from. Because you may be panting like a deer for brook waters, but make sure that the source of that brook is spiritual. Is that outside?
No. You can mute that maybe to the back.
It's all right. Let it flow. Let it flow. Be careful. The Lord was telling me, tell them to be careful which stream they are drinking the water from. Because not every stream comes from the source of life. We have so many different people saying that they thank God for everything. And we see that they don't live the most godly, separated, consecrated life. And we start to ask ourselves, but what is this? Let me tell you something. The Bible does not contradict itself when it says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. So even if you see them thanking the Lord, even if you see them this and that in their songs, oh Lord, my source comes, my life, blah, 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 all this good stuff. Look at the brook waters that they're drinking. The Bible says by their fruits, right? By their fruits, you shall know them. Sometimes when we get stuck on one thing, when we're looking for answers, we get fixated. We get fixated on only one way of doing things when the Lord is asking us to do it a different way. This brings me back to the Bible where Peter and the other fishermen were casting their nets. And they were fishing. The Bible says they were fishing for hours. Fishing for hours because they were doing what they were accustomed to do. Let me tell you, there's going to come a point in our lives where He's going to shake us out of our comfort zone. He's going to say, I want you to do it this way. And you're probably going to come off as a villain to many people. Probably going to come off a little weird, a little awkward and peculiar like me. It's all right, I welcome you into my group. Peter was just doing what he knew. He's like, oh, I'm just going to let muscle memory settle in. And he was casting his nets and he's like, we haven't fished anything, Master. And Jesus had just one idea. He said, why don't you try casting your nets the other way? Sometimes we're praying, we're asking, we're crying out. The Bible says we pray and we don't receive because we are not praying in the correct manner. The Bible says that. Those are not my words. Sometimes when we come to that point of blockage and we're worried about more of the outcome, like Martha was worried, oh, he's going to reek, Lord. We're not seeing what's about to happen. We focus on the pandemic. We focus on the illnesses. We focus on the disease. And we do not remember what Paul said, that we have been given power to lay hands over the sick and they shall heal. Lay hands over the captive and they shall be liberated. Jesus said, take away the stone, Martha. Take away the stone. That wasn't a literal stone. It was the stone of doubt. The stone of fear. Take it away. Sometimes we get so accustomed, sometimes we get so comfortable with our situation that we don't want to remove the stone. I'm comfortable, Lord. Please don't make me do something different. I've been doing the same thing for years. God, why do you want to take me out now? I've been a deacon at the church. Why do you want me to become a missionary and go other places, Lord? Why do we question God when He knows the outcome of everything? Just let Him flow. Let Him do what He does best. Just welcome Him into your life. Let Him do what He does. Let Him flow. God bless you. These are my words.